everybody. This is Phil Town.
And this is Danielle Town.
Welcome to the Invested Podcast. We're back here at the beginning of the year and excited to talk about resolutions, like getting yourself set up for making the best of 2023 for yourself.
It's funny to hear you say that you're excited to talk about resolutions because you were not excited last time.
But now I've gotten
like,
excited because of Gretchen Rubin.
Yes, because I'm like telling you all of my excitement. Every time I tell you about Gretchen Rubin, you get super interested and then you forget. Then, so don't forget.
Don't tell, she's don't tell Gretchen I forget. I'll get to her book. Talk about stacks of books in the publishing industry. I feel like my desk looks like that.
I bet. Stacks. I know. Aren't all of ours.
Well, not ours. Yeah.
Stuff just to read. What?
Yeah. Things I want to read. I mean, I do read quite a lot, actually.
When I got sick, when I got COVID more than 2 years ago, and I was over like the worst part of the very beginning of it, meaning like I was about 2 months in, and I kind of thought like, oh, I'll get better soon, like a normal illness. And so even though I couldn't read books because my brain was not up to it, I just thought like, oh, I'll like use the time to make a great reading list. And I started just like buying books on Kindle because I was like, oh yeah, I'll read that one first. And then I'll be all set and I'll read that one next. And so I bought probably like 10 or 15 books on Kindle. Still haven't read them. But they're there. Once I can read again, they're there.
I have found Audible to be this incredible resource for you know, quote, reading.
Yeah, sort it of, is.
I get Audible downloads, and then if I'm traveling, you know, just driving someplace for an hour, mm-hmm. on goes a book, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the driving time just goes away if you're listening to a really good book. And I'll also go to sleep with it these days. I wonder if that's, I hope it doesn't wreck my sleep any, because I go out pretty quick, like 10 minutes or something.
There's a sleep timer on Audible.
Oh yeah, and you use it for sure. Yeah. Otherwise you start chapter one and wake up in the morning and you're at chapter 32 and you didn't hear any of it.
But like that, have you read Audible. Why We Sleep? Did you listen to me going insane over that book?
Yeah, I remember the Why We Sleep stuff.
Did you read it?
No.
No. That's not a great one, ironically, to go to sleep to, because the guy who reads it is so soothing and
talks like this,
soporific. And Nuno and I listened to that one because I read it and then I was freaking out so much over it that I insisted that he read it. So then we started listening to it before we went to sleep, and it put Nuno to sleep within like 5 minutes. But we got through the book eventually. And it was completely worth it. Why We Sleep, another great book. This is like book recommendations by Danielle somehow this month.
I think we should go back to the recommendation of Gretchen Rubin. Okay, so tell us.
I do too, because what I want to get to is our view on resolutions or goals or whatever, because I think it's so important to investing practice. How does one treat this endeavor in a way that's actually going to be effective, not for somebody you know or your friend or your spouse or your anybody, just for you. And what I loved about Gretchen Rubin's paradigm of what she calls the four tendencies is that it acknowledges how different we are around these concepts of goals and desires and promises and whatever other synonym anybody wants to find. So,
those are not synonyms. I disagree with that.
And yet, to some people, maybe they are.
And some people, I guess they are. A promise is the synonym for a goal, which is a synonym for an expectation, which is a synonym for, I don't care if I make it or
not. But when it comes to something like a New Year's resolution, which is yet another word, some people treat them very, very seriously and other people don't. And we just have really different attitudes,
Gretchen has a book that describes this. And did you give us the name correctly last time? You were guessing.
Yeah, I did. So it is Better Than Before. And then Better Than Before was such a successful book and everybody wanted to know so much more about the four tendencies that then she wrote an entire book about the four tendencies, which is called The Four Tendencies. So I recommend both of them. And Better Than Before, I think reading both of them is important because what The Four Tendencies does is basically like let you look up your tendency and learn a lot more about it. Whereas Better Than Before is more of a description of what's going on. So yeah, so The Four Tendencies, as I said last time, and I think if you didn't listen to the last episode, maybe go back and listen because I don't want to repeat everything. But basically there's four overlapping groups based on how we respond to expectations. And that's the way Gretchen describes it, is expectations. So whether somebody on the outside expects something of you and how you respond to that, and then whether you expect something of yourself and how you respond to that. So there's, and I have the words she uses now, the names of them. Upholders respond well to both outer and inner expectations. Mm-hmm. By the way, if you're an upholder, like, congratulations, because that just sounds like life is a breeze. And Gretchen says that she's an upholder and she describes a few challenges, but let's just say life is a little easier, I think, if you're an upholder. Okay. If you're a congratulations, like, I'm only a little bit bitter about it. If you are somebody who responds well to inner expectations, but resists outer expectations, I'm looking at her book now, you are called a questioner. And so if it's somebody who trusts their own mind in a very strong way, but not others. So if you have made a decision, you then trust that you have been through all the options, you've weighed everything really well, and you're going to go with that decision and there isn't much more to deal with. But if somebody else says something to you or expects something of you, then basically you start asking a lot of questions until you, in your own mind, have decided to either agree or disagree. So those people tend to be earmarked by that they like to ask questions, which I think is pretty funny. Then on the opposite side of that spectrum is somebody called an obliger. And this is somebody who meets outer expectations, but resists inner expectations. So a less nice way might be called a people pleaser, although that's a slightly different thing in psychology. But basically, if somebody else on the outside is expecting something of you, you're going to do your best to meet that. But on the inside, if you expect something of yourself, that doesn't really mean all that much. So these are the people who I would say have trouble with New Year's resolutions because they're just mostly on the inside. And often the advice, and I think Gretchen gives this advice in her book around obligers, is like set up outer expectations for yourself of something that you want to do. So like same example I said last time, have a running buddy or set up a personal trainer who is going to meet you at a certain time so that you have this outer expectation out there that you don't want to disappoint. God, and then the last section, man. I know. Okay. And then the last, I know it's like all you want is to know more about every kind, because here's the amazing thing is we all think about ourselves and which one of them we are, which is absolutely square one of this whole thing. But once I start thinking like, okay, I kind of have a sense of what I am, then I start thinking about like, well, who's my husband and what's he like? And how do I get him to like be set up in a way where he is most supported so that his view towards expectations is helped.
This is really huge. What's the fourth one?
The fourth
rebel,
one
right?
is the worst rebel. One, in my view. The rebel who responds neither to outer nor inner expectations. And generally just rebels against all expectations. So I, and again, if you go to my, if you join my online course, which is called Mostly Invested, I did a whole interview with Gretchen on there, an exclusive, amazing interview. Like, she was so amazing to do that for me. And we talked a lot about my categorization, because I struggle. I feel like I'm a rebel because I respond very badly generally to most expectations. But I think I also have a little bit of an obliger, because I do care a lot about making sure that I don't disappoint other people.
Oh.
What?
So it's, I was hoping it would be all nice and neat.
It should be all nice and neat. Nicely into categories. It should be all nice and neat. And here's the fascinating part.
Like, I'm an
so
Aries.
I read Better Than Before, thinking to myself, I wish it was all nice and neat. This is torture. I don't understand which one I am.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm a rebel, but like with a little bit of obliger. And I was like, I just must be like some kind of hybrid Frankenstein. Or not Frankenstein. Frankenstein's monster. I know that Frankenstein is the doctor. And so then she wrote The Four Tendencies, and I opened it up. And in the rebel section, or maybe it's in the obliger section, there's a part for people who are part obliger and part rebel, because she had so many people saying to her, I feel like I'm both and I can't figure it out. So she says that there are people who behave, they're like underlying rebels, but they behave like obligers, where they're responding to outer expectations, responding to outer expectations, responding to outer expectations, but it's so exhausting that there comes a point where they can no longer respond to any of these outer expectations, and they basically throw everything up in the air and say, I quit, and abandon all pretense to try to meet anybody's expectations. So this is like the classic, like you go into work one day and you're just like, I can't take it anymore, and I quit, and feel massive relief because you no longer have those outer expectations. Whereas an obliger, true obliger, would just keep at it and actually like be, I think, fairly supported by having those outer expectations. So I think that's me. I think I kind of at some point regularly like kind of throw my hands up and go like, I can't take it anymore. And
well, what is the kind of the person that
people who write books about how they threw up their hands and said, I can't take it anymore.
Well, how is this going to help us here?
So,
I mean, us being all of us who have difficulty following through on goals or meeting our expectations, our inner expectations, I presume a goal typically is going to be an inner expectation. And that would be right, unless somebody else is setting goals for you, which, okay, fine. But
yeah,
let's assume for right now, let's just start with inner for a second, that you want to become, you're making a promise to yourself to become financially independent. You're making a promise to yourself to learn to create generational wealth so your children have more opportunities in their life than you did, in a world that's rapidly becoming more difficult than it was before. So it feels like this helps us.
It helps
somehow,
me.
But I haven't studied it. So
I started talking about it. It helps me to simply be aware that one, inner and outer expectations are a thing. Like, until she wrote about that, I had never thought about any kind of separation between those things. And I think being able to define what's happening in your life and whose expectations there are helps you then decide what to do. So for me, like, for example, if I think back to when I first started talking about investing with you, I was just trying to make a better life for myself, and I couldn't think of any other way to do that. And so I was, in a lot of ways, throwing up my hands against the outer expectations and saying, like, my inner expectation is that I need to come up with a better way to live because this way isn't working for me. And because of that, then you said something like, okay, you need to like study the spreadsheets or study the financials or whatever. And I was like, that's not going to work. Like, that's an outer expectation. I didn't think about it exactly like that, but looking back, like, that was an outer expectation. And I was able to say, like, to myself, that's not one that's going to work for me. I need to focus on my inner inner expectation of finding my own way into this. What she says about rebels, how on earth does somebody who doesn't respond to expectations ever do anything? And what she says about rebels is, from talking to a lot of them, that the way they do things is to think about identity. Who am I? Am I somebody who exercises every day? Am I the kind of person who exercises every day? Am I the kind of person who doesn't eat sugar? Am I the kind of person who is an investor? Am I, like, is that the person I want to be? And this is why I think I'm a rebel at heart, because thinking back to that time, the kind of person I wanted to be was not what I was at the time, and definitely was, this is like a really weird thing to say, so I don't even know if it makes sense. It was like you, but different. Like, that was the person I wanted to be. I wanted to be like you, but different. And just by following that, I don't know, somehow things started to evolve. So for somebody who is a different kind of tendency, I think thinking like, is it outer pressures? Is it inner pressures? What motivates me in a way that will help me to actually follow through in a life-sustaining, healthy, supportive way? Not in a, I'm dragging myself to this thing 3 times a week and I hate it, but in a way where, like, you really are going to fall in love. And there's very different ways to approach that. That being, to be more precise, investing practice. There's very different ways to approach investing practice.
Let's talk about what that means. I'd like to kind of get a little more specific here, because this is pretty fuzzy right now in my head.
Okay.
So if let's just take working out for a second, okay? Going and exercising. Everybody should do it, so we all know that's all on our page, on our page to do. Okay, so if you are going to exercise, do you do better by having a personal trainer, or do you better by...
Wait, are we talking about me personally?
No, just trying to understand outer and inner.
To understand outer and inner.
Right? So if a personal trainer is going to be what you need to be an exercising person, you're outer. And if you can do it on your own, you're inner. Is that right?
Oh, gosh. I don't know if I'd put it exactly in that direction.
Well, I'm trying to get at something so crystal clear that even I can understand it. Because right now, this feels like astrology to me a little bit. Like, oh, an Aries is this, and then a Gemini is that. And then when you start looking at real people, they're all mixed up.
And I haven't really talked to anybody who's mixed up, except for that rebel obliger thing.
Well, you sound like you're pretty mixed up about who you are. Are you inner or outer or both or rebel, and you're a little of this and not that? And
really?
You're all over the map. Yeah,
I've said several times that I'm a rebel.
Well, yeah, except...
But with that obliger-rebel combo... And that's the only combo, by the way. Does that really, like, blows your mind?
Well, then I don't know why there wouldn't be other combos. Kind of an outer, but okay. A little bit of an inner.
Well, let's talk about you then.
In other words,
what are your feelings about your own inner expectations? If you decide inside your own head to do something, and I'm talking about, what do you call it? You don't like goal. You call it something promise. Else. A promise.
Yeah.
Do you do it?
What do you think I am?
No. This is something each of us has to answer. I'm not going to say. This is something each of us has to say about ourselves.
It could be a little bit like values. You know, everybody says they have these values that are really good. But if you really want to know what person's values are, look at what they do. Not
so look at what you do.
They do. Yeah. So you can see what I do. What do you think?
Why do you not want to answer for yourself?
Well, I'm just curious because I might think this is, I just tried to explain with the values thing. If you ask me what my values are, I can say they're the A, B, C, D. But if you actually know what I do, that would be a much better indication. In other words, I might not really realize what my real values are.
Yeah. She has a whole questionnaire in her book, by the way. So, you know.
Because I think personally that I'm just very inner motivated. I think I decide something and then I just go do it.
Mm-hmm. And how about with outer expectations?
Like,
how do you respond? Like if I expect something of you, like don't eat sugar anymore.
Not going to be that strong.
Yeah, that's what I would say. You're a questioner.
Yeah. Yeah. And my wife is the same way.
Oh, that's hard. She actually writes, I can't remember which book, probably The Four Tendencies. She writes about relationships between, because obviously it makes a huge difference to harmony in marriage.
Well, in my marriage, I mean, Melissa's so we're very similar. Like in, it's one of the reasons we're such good friends, I think. We really understand each other really well. But, I can't convince her to do anything. I mean, basically, right? Anything she doesn't really want to do. So, and I'm the same way. So it makes for a really good couple pulling the wagon together as long as we're going the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not going the same direction, it can be, we haven't found anything in our lives where we're really not going the same direction. So that's been really good. But I think we're unusual in that it works for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it has its tough moments. There's no question about it, you know? So what about you?
Well, I'm a rebel, so I'm just difficult. And I think is a questioner as well. So the hallmark of a questioner is they just need to make up their own mind.
Right.
So you can present them all the info and it's still not really going to convince until they go away and they decide yes or no to that.
Now, this is so interesting because I remember once years ago, we wanted to work out sort of a family workout thing with the boys and who were still home then. And we would go down at like 6:30 in the morning and we'd work out and we'd all work out. So everybody work out. When I was on the road, we'd work out via Zoom. So we'd still continue this thing. And, after a while, Melissa just didn't want to do it. It was just like, she just didn't want
to
do it. It wasn't.
And so to her, that's not breaking a promise because she never actually made the promise inside her own expectations head.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And exactly. And so that she stopped. So, and that would be, I'd probably the same way. If I was dragging along with somebody else's idea, it would eventually probably not work.
Oh, you would like forget about it within 24 hours. And then you'd be like, oh, that thing that you said and that we agreed to, that wasn't real.
It wasn't a promise.
You'd be like, what? We were just talking.
Yeah, exactly. So
Yeah. So as far as investing practice, I think this stuff just helps me know how to set myself up. So you're asking for specifics. You know, do you need a personal trainer? Do you not need a personal trainer? Well, so for somebody...
Here's the problem I've got with this that I don't understand. It's not a problem. I just don't understand it. So we talked about me, for example, of having someone else try to impose an expectation on me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not going to work.
No.
But let's say my inner expectation is, okay, I do want to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Then I could completely see getting a personal trainer to show up and knock on the door. And okay, then the question becomes, all right, what's going to get in the way of me actually working out? And it could be literally anything. Because your example was, this person knocks on the door. There's no way that I would die before I would not fulfill their expectation.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I would be like, hey,
that's
sorry,
what I was about to say, is that I know that you're not an upholder or an obliger, who are the people who respond to outer expectations, because I have seen you turn away people at the door who you still have to pay.
Yes.
And you don't care.
No.
You'll be like, here's money. So, have a great day. I'll pay your bill, whatever. Like, yeah, I'm not doing
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. I something else became more important at that moment.
Exactly.
And I am that. Yeah. 100% right. Okay. I think I understand that.
So they can help, right? Like, I find having appointments with people very helpful. I know you find having appointments with people very helpful.
God,
but when push comes to shove, what do you do? Do you feel like you're breaking some law of nature by saying no?
I just did it yesterday. It's just so clear as a bell. I was up meeting with a good friend, and we were going through what I thought would take about an hour and a half of stuff, and it just spilled over, and I had an eye appointment, right? That took like 3 months to get with this doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And it was no question in my mind. I just called his office and said, can't make it.
But
let's
Dad,
change.
You need to go to your eye appointments.
I know. And then they said it's going to be months before. And so I said, all right, I'm just going to go down there and sit in the waiting room and hope I can get in. And I did.
Oh, good.
But
I'm glad
that's exactly right. You know, and the thing I was doing that took my attention was just fun. I was enjoying it. It took my attention. And it was nothing for me to just push off this other appointment. Whereas I guess someone who's really outer expectation driven, they would never not make that appointment.
No, you would go to your appointment and you would say, this is really fun, and we'll get back to it after the appointment. And I think, let me, because you were like, oh, I want you to tell me what I am. I think it's important to investigate yourself. And I was just thinking about Nuno, and the reason I'm not totally sure what he is that I think from the outside, I can see like what he does kind of and like how he responds to things, but I don't know what's going on in the inside. And sometimes the way you feel about things is different than the way you act or the way you respond. So, I think it's important to make, I think he's either a questioner or maybe he's an upholder. And
okay. I can see how if you're clearly a questioner, then being an upholder might be a possibility.
Yeah. Cause I was just thinking when you were saying that, the reason I'm so sure that I'm a rebel and not a full on obliger is that, like, again, same situation, like 2 weeks ago or so, Nuno needed to talk to me about something that was like very important and very timely. And I had a physiotherapy appointment and I just was like, it's physiotherapy, I'm just not going to go. Like, I'll pay for it. And it's fine. You know, like, I didn't even give it a second thought.
Yeah.
Because what we needed to do was more important. And I didn't even like tell him that I had an appointment that I wasn't going to go to. And then like 10 minutes before the appointment, I realized, I should probably call them and cancel and tell them that I'm not coming. So I said, okay, I need to call. And he goes, you're going to miss an appointment? What? Uh-huh. And I was like, clearly what we're doing is more important than that. And he was like, oh my goodness. Like, he was just like shocked.
So he might be
Whereas to me, it was nothing. And because, again, like, it's the same thing, like, importance are very helpful to me, but I don't feel like I've tortured anyone by not going. And he is different than that. He definitely, like, pays more, what do you call that? He puts more stock in those kinds of things. And I know he cares a lot about making sure he obliges other people. But he also is somebody who, when it comes to, like, really important stuff, and I will tell you, as a wife, this is very frustrating, he has to decide for himself before he is all in.
Yeah.
So maybe he's an upholder, actually.
So I think this is so valuable that we should dive in the next podcast on how this applies to all of us for 2023 in reaching out toward our financial promises, goals, expectations.
Yes, we will finally get to it. By the end of January, maybe we will have some, or just not.
Plenty of time. We'll have 11 months ahead
of us. So many months.
To know how to set ourselves up for success. Because we teach a lot of people how to invest in our three-day class.
And you do. Yeah, not me.
I do. And man, it's just like, what? Why is it some of them end up going through, you know, the next 2 years of just full on commitment and work that they're doing, and then get so good at this that they literally change their lives with regard to investing and become coaches of teaching other people how to do this as well. Why do some people do that, and other people, after fully committing, after making a promise in class about what they want to achieve over the next period of time, blow it off and they're gone?
And so, yeah, that promise thing doesn't do anything for me, I have to say.
Well, it's clearly not going to do anything for people who are not. Well, that's what I want to talk about. Let's figure that out next time. I would love to know how to.
I think you even said that to me at the beginning. You were like, make a promise to yourself.
I did. Make a promise to yourself. And you're like,
no, thanks.
Whereas to me, if I promise myself, I will knock down walls to get that done. Right? I mean, that's, to me, that's why the idea of promising is so powerful, because it's powerful to me. It works for me. I didn't realize it wasn't powerful for everybody until now. I thought, well, anybody who makes a promise, obviously that's so powerful.
Yeah.
Apparently not. And it's always baffled me that people make promises and don't follow through on them. It's just like, oh, don't care. It's just a word. Okay, let's figure out how to get ourselves set up for success in 2023.
Okay, sounds good. And
till then, guys.
Anybody following along, go read Better Than Before and The Four Tendencies by Gretchen Rubin, because you will get a hell of a lot more out of those books than out of my synopses of those books.
And
they're so
email
good.
Your questions to.
Oh, that's a good idea. Email your questions to questions@investedpodcast.com. Questions@investedpodcast.com. And that's a great idea. Would love some questions.
Just
shoot us
an email. That's so easy, rather than us playing video of you guys talking. That's always sort of like just.
Oh, like when we used to play the audio of questions.
Let's just do an email. So email questions. We will get to those much easier if they're on emails than any other way. And until next time, time to go play. See ya.
Think about your tendency. Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Hi, guys. Thanks for listening to Invested. If you enjoyed this episode and you want more information or to listen to additional episodes, visit our website at investedpodcast.com and sign up for my virtual workshop right there. Spots are definitely limited for this event. I'm not kidding. They really are. They sell out very quickly. So everything discussed on this podcast, by the way, is either my opinion or it's Danielle's opinion. And it's really important, it's not to be taken as investing advice, because I am not your financial advisor, nor have I considered your personal situation as your fiduciary. So remember that. You're on your own here. This podcast is for your entertainment and education only, and I really hope you enjoyed it.